You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the health care coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
A new year means it's time for a new home network that can keep up. With Cox Internet, you have the speed and coverage your family needs to stay connected. You'll enjoy Cox's fiber-based hybrid network with options for fast upload and download speeds. And if your household has lots of connected devices, panoramic Wi-Fi may be the perfect fit thanks to its additional control features. Plus, with advanced security on panoramic Wi-Fi, you'll know each connected device is securely protected 24/7. A whole world of connectivity is yours with Cox Internet. Learn more at cox.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
We'll be right back. do something?
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do? Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Click, click, boom! I'm coming down on the stereo, ripping on the radio. Click, click, boom!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Otherwise known as Chat Lives Matter Day here on KLR Radio. I am one half of the crew, Mr. Rick Robbins, and he's the other half, otherwise known as Amish Secreto. I'm just going to start calling you that all the time now, I think. Anyway, so, he's the other half of the crew, the Amish one, otherwise known as Horty. Good. Well, I would ask how you were, but the earth just kind of moved for you, and not in a good way.
It's like Rick and I were talking, and I'm all, hang on, earthquake. He's all, what, seriously? I said, shh, hang on.
Yeah, I'm all like, so, I'm all talking about how I'm keeping my drinking trend of dessert after dinner going, and you're like, shut up, I have an earthquake. I'm like, really? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, it was close enough. It was down the road a bit. But, it was that kind of – those of you who have lived in earthquake country, and I know, like, you know, Jess will totally get this and – yeah, not that one. So anyway, it was like that first little drop where you got that, you know, kind of like – something heavy just fell in the other room, but, and then it was like, hang on. Cause that's for the kind of earthquakes I'm used to, like especially California quakes. That's the start. You get what's called the P wave. And then it starts to do its little shaking thing. Yeah. Andrew gets it. Andrew, I know you worked, out on the other side of the border, and that was when that part was having massive clusters of quakes. I think you might have had something to do with it, as close to Area 51 as you were. Did you?
Well, honestly, Oklahoma was kind of becoming the capital for earthquakes for a while because of whatever the heck was going on.
Yeah, the New Madrid fault you guys got there, that's fun.
Yeah, they like blamed it on fracking or whatever. But yeah, most of our earthquakes were really, really tiny. Like a couple, like there was one, I was working for Southwest Airlines at the time, and I was on the phone and all this shit started shaking on my desk and I'm like, what the hell is this? And they're like, oh my God, it's an earthquake. Up until then, the only ones that I'd had, you know, literally lasted for like 2 seconds and it sounded like somebody was backing into my house or something. Just this big loud boom, and that was it, and it was over. And this one, like, shit was shaking, pictures fell down. I'm like, yeah, nope, give me tornadoes. I'm done with this shit. At least I know when tornadoes are coming. Shit. anyway. But, yeah.
Yeah, but, see, that's actually what I, yeah, no, you're right. New Madrid is Missouri, but I think that's part of the, I don't know. And, yes, that's the one, Andrew. That's down the road for me. I mean, it was an attention getter. Magnitude 4.2. The other weird thing is that's the longest I've ever seen USGS take to get a website up or get a earthquake on their website. See, we didn't have this problem during the Trump years. Earthquakes showed up immediately.
Well, you know.
Well, what's funny is that one started out like when there was that big 7-point earthquake down in Ridgecrest, California. That's how it felt where I was at, too. That's why when you ask what where you're at, and I said, well, some shit going down somewhere.
So, yeah, speaking of things that didn't happen during the Trump years, the Biden administration is convinced that the more money they spend, the more they're going to solve the deficit problem. I don't really understand how that works. I heard that again today. I was like, are you kidding me?
That's opposite world. See, we are now, okay... Not only are we in the second dumbest timeline, we're not in the dumbest one because we have Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but it is also the bizarro timeline where the opposite is actually true. Well, at least for Dems who think that you can spend your way out of a deficit that has worked exactly zero times.
I mean, well, the funny thing is, you know, we've, you know, those of us that have been paying attention to these kind of things for forever have been talking about this thing called Keynesian economics, and they're like, yeah, that's not real. And then you hear Democrats say, but yeah, us spending, that actually helps with inflation and helps with the deficit. But yeah, what about that that fake economic thing you were just talking about? Because guess what? Anyway,
there's an old meme with Paul Krugman, and it's a Gilligan's Island meme, where Gilligan comes up, he's all, what happened? Paul Krugman's all, I burned your hut down. Why? So you could rebuild it. That's Keynesian economics in a nutshell.
Coconut shell?
Ba-dum-bum. Yes.
Sorry. Had to be done.
Yes. Well, okay, yeah. So I got to go back. The reason why I like earthquakes over tornadoes and hurricanes and everything is because when an earthquake is happening, it's like there's no warning and it's happened. And then you're alive or you're dead. There you go. You know, it's like a roller coaster, you know. And but with like tornado warnings and hurricane warnings and everything, you're huddled in, you know. You get the rising fear, which I guess is also kind of like a roller coaster, but a different kind. It's like, you know, an earthquake is the, you know, the sudden drop, you know, like free fall at Six Flags, where the other ones would be more like a long, slow build up. Like an old wooden roller coaster.
Anyway.
Yeah, you got that long climb up to the top.
All I know is I can't sit in a lawn chair and drink a beer watching an earthquake. I can a tornado.
Well, okay, fine.
Just say it. You know, for Okies, earthquake scary, tornadoes just another sport we watch. Just saying.
There you go.
Anyway, but yeah. So, but yeah.
But yeah. What you can do with an earthquake like that 7 point that was down in Ridgecrest is you can take your lawn chair with your beer, sit down, and watch your pool slosh around, which is fun.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I guess that's true.
So. You know, if you are the swimming pool type. But yeah, spending your way out of inflation.
Yeah, such a great plan.
Yeah.
Kind of like when they fire up the printer every time they need more money and we're wondering why we have rampant inflation. The more of money there is in circulation, the less the money that is in circulation is worth. It's called Economics 101.
You know why they're printing all that money? So that way, more people can buy the NFTs for the first 29 seconds of the CNN Plus broadcast.
Oh, good Lord. I hear they're already... I mean, that thing is just really starting to be launched, and they're already talking layoffs. That should be.
It launched yesterday. And it has a 50% off lifetime membership. Brad and Aggie were talking about it last night. I did the math. You can get a year for $35.
Wow.
And they're already talking layoffs, and they're selling NFTs of the first. They are so fucking desperate. But yeah, that's not how you start your streaming service. I mean, they're already talking about rolling it into Disney Plus.
I thought it was Discovery Plus.
Oh, Discovery. Well, it's all this. Yes, wait. Yes, that would be Discovery Plus. You are right.
I was going to say, I know Disney Plus is losing their mind, but yeah, I didn't think they lost it that far yet. Anyway, but yeah, no. I'm still waiting for it to go on sale. I'm going to go slap a dollar on the desk.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but Rooster, think about that. $35, that is cheaper than the Hallmark Channel.
That's less than $3 a month by like a nickel or so a month.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's for 50% off because like if you don't get in on the special introductory price, you're going to be paying $7, yo.
I mean, I might pay $7 a month for BritBox. I would never pay $7 a month for CNN streaming.
Yeah. I mean, who really... Is there content they're not getting on CNN that they need to rush out and get the plus?
I mean, I don't know. Are they going to have like a whole segment called Tater Salad? Is that the plan? I'm just not sure.
Yeah, sure.
Oh man.
You know, I think it was Brad who in an article or somebody on Red State made the point that now you can pay for the content that comes free in Tater's newsletter. But I mean, these are the people who think that you can spend your way out of inflation, ergo Latin. It tracks. You can't see me, but I'm doing the Jennifer Aniston purse lips nodding thing. That gif? Yeah. So
nice.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, so that's going on, which is fun. Okay, everybody else got to comment on the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing. And I just want to say this. You can see the look in Chris Rock's face of, I could end your career and never have to work again, but I'm not going to because I'm the bigger man, as that hand cocks back. You see that look in Chris Rock's eyes. It's like, oh, this is happening. Okay. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people who are still convinced that it's fake, and no, it's not. But Jess made a good point, too, is that sure put to rest the rumors on whether Will Smith is gay or not.
Here's my thing with all that, because honestly, when I saw the cut version, I really did think it was staged, and then I saw the uncut full thing, and I was like, oh yeah, no, that wasn't staged. But the other thing is, I mean, come on. I mean, I get Chris Rock is like 2'2", but why are you going to walk up and bitch slap somebody?
Well, okay, and that's... Yeah, okay, there's that, too. And that... The thing is that, you know, it's not often that I agree with Jim Carrey. It's not often that I agree with Bill Maher. But both of them made a good point is that will exist forever. And that should pretty much end Will Smith's career right there. And yeah, I understand Will Smith has a lot of problems at home. Why he's still with her is anybody's guess. I mean, the kids are grown and millionaires on their own. They don't need, you know, mom and dad to still be together. But, yeah. So anyway, the rest of it, I don't care about. I really don't. I am loving these scorching takes of white people being outraged by it as a sign of racism.
Yeah, that's funny. I do find it interesting, you know, that the same crowd that, you know, violence is never the answer are the same ones that are saying, well, Will Smith did what every husband should do. No. Because first things first, look, I don't necessarily disagree. Well, here's my thing. First of all, when I didn't see the whole thing and they didn't show Will Smith, like, laughing his ass off until he saw the look on his wife's face, first of all, that's issue number one. Don't be laughing your ass off and then all of a sudden you realize your wife's pissed off and all of a sudden you're gonna be the big man. Because here, first of all, look, if you're going to do that, you do it off stage later. And you say, what the fuck were you doing? And if he mouths off, you knock the shit out of him when nobody can see you. That's how you handle that, if you're going to go that route. But doing it on stage, first of all, after everybody sees you laughing your ass off, and you don't do anything until the woman that we know is basically treating you like the cuckold you are makes a face at you, and then you go mm-hmm. up and you strut up like you're a big man on campus, but then you bitch slap the mofo, and then you want to sit down back at your seat and go, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth. If I was Chris Rock, I would have said, sure, as soon as you keep your wife's mouth off everybody else's cock. And kept
That's
on going.
The first thing I thought of, too.
And kept right the fuck on going. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So. Yeah. I just. Yeah, I mean, everybody got to comment on it. I had to throw mine in because it's my first podcast of the week. And, yeah, I think we need to come back to the time when actors were treated as lower than prostitutes.
I know, right?
I mean, you were making the case last night that it's, as America, as our culture, we idolize these people. And, the Romans had the right of it, you know. I mean, actors were lower than prostitutes. Because at least prostitutes provided a service. Actors were just... Anyway. So, that's my take on the topic.
I mean, I don't know when all of these people that, you know, do the same things that we all did as kids became idols and millionaires and everything else. Because, you know, we all used to play the same games in our front yards and our backyards. We all used to play dress up and pretend we were things that we weren't. And somehow these people have figured out how to turn it into to millions and billions of dollars worth of industry. And I'm just sitting here going, because it's like this with everybody now. It doesn't matter what they are, what they're in. Half of them have these pasts that you never want to hear about, or you realize that, you know, that they're people just like we are and that they do stupid crap. I mean, look, we've all done things that we're not proud of. But the simple fact of the matter is, the fact that we idolize these people is just stupid, because we idolize them for pretending to be things in the first place. It's not because of who they are, it's because of who they portray. And we start buying into these people's characters, and all of a sudden we think that's who they are, and then they do shit like this, and we're like, oh, that was wrong. But, I mean, the whole thing with Jada and Will... Look, I've been where this dude is. Not too long ago, I was where this dude is. It makes you spin the fuck out. I get it. I understood the moment he did what he did, because that was him trying to regain what he felt was some lost masculinity. But he opted to stay in this. This is nothing new. This is something that's gone on since basically when they started. She was up front with him and said, look, yeah, we can do this, but, you know, you've got this going on and I've got this going on, so let's just keep it that way. At some point, he decided he wanted more. She kept running the same game. It's his fucking fault for staying, especially now that they're adults grown and everybody's got their own money. He don't need to put up with that shit anymore. He's choosing to do that. That's on him.
You know, going back to earlier, you know, what you said about it, my childhood idol was Evel Knievel. There was one of him. I mean, there were a lot of stuntmen, but not everybody was trying to jump a motorcycle over the Snake River, all right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, Evel Knievel was pretty cool. I gotta give you that one.
Yeah, okay, so, but I mean, that was at the time. He was unique. You know, it was kind of the same thing like Richard Petty and, I almost said Tom Petty, but Richard Petty, he was at the top of his game, though I never really considered NASCAR drivers as athletes because all they're really doing is turning to the left. Yes, it's tiresome, but it's still just a really long left-hand turn. And Muhammad Ali, again, because he was the greatest. And I was too young to understand the politics of the time. So those were my three. And and I wasn't even really into NASCAR. I just really liked the hat.
All I have to say about NASCAR is everything that Jeff Dunham's puppet Bubba J says. Oh, look, another left turn.
Right. And you know when they get into crashes is when they do like the circuit, you know, races. You know, when they get on the Formula One track or something that has right turns, that's when they fuck everything up. Andrew has a good point. Okay, Ezra Miller, and this is all I have to say on that. Non-binary. The insanity, the signs were there. Okay, his insanity was on display ever since he left Zoe Kravitz. So, and if you're not familiar, the actor Ezra Miller from The Flash and other things, he's constantly losing his mind. He's constantly getting into trouble for violence. And they keep, forgiving him and letting him, you know, giving him slap on the wrist. $600 fines for choking and body slamming a woman in Reykjavik. $600 fine for selling pot. Who cares? Everybody sold pot at some point in their life. And then this, in Hawaii, he was heckling some woman on stage at karaoke, getting into a fight with somebody else. Then the manager calls the cops. A couple he's staying with bails him out, and then he threatens to kill them and steals like passports and social security and everything from their houses. It's just like, okay, again, you're enabling this behavior when you just give them slaps on the wrist. And then when you let them live in this fantasy world where you know, they're non-binary and don't eat. Okay. You know what? That's just, you're catering to their insanity and, stop it.
Whole non-binary thing is so just, I'm just over it. I'm just done.
Yeah, it's kind of like what gays and lesbians said about bi people. It's like, okay, look, you're really gay, you're just filming yourself. or you're just experimenting while in college. But that's like the whole non-binary thing is just, you know what, you're bi. Okay. It's just, but now you're playing the, oh, I feel like a woman today. Fuck off. Shania Twain was not singing about you.
She might as well have been.
And yeah, Jeff, you're 100% right. NASCAR hasn't been good since they got rid of the Winston Cup, since they kicked cigarettes off cars and advertising.
Well, I mean, come on.
Tobacco and
if we're really being honest, this country started turning into shit when we stopped, you know, when everything went from smoking Marlboros to let's vape some strawberry cheesecake.
Yeah, you know what? You know what started ruining America? Non-smoking sections.
I mean,
I'm old enough to where I remember where Carl's Jr. had ashtrays.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that is, and I understand that it started happening for health reasons, etc., but you're not too far off because that's when public health started outweighing people's freedom of choice.
Yes. And while it is, yeah, okay, you probably shouldn't smoke. I agree. You know, I feel much better since I quit smoking. I still would stab a hobo in the neck for a cigarette right now, but I feel better for not. For not smoking, not stabbing a hobo, because, you know.
I mean, hey, no judgment here. But yeah, I mean, I still smoke a cigar occasionally, and occasionally some other things that are quasi-legal around here now. But no cigarettes.
Yeah, you see, now I gotta do federal drug testing, so.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have
so, but, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, apparently 3/4 of your state is reservation land now.
I know. I live on reservation property now, so I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually, you know, kind of cool in the fact that, you know, the state has no, the man got no jurisdiction over you, just the tribe.
I don't know, as a white guy, that's kind of scary. I mean, granted, I mean, honestly, if they did a swab, I would probably come back with probably 18 to 19% native DNA, because I have great-grandparents on both sides that were different tribes, but I look really, really white. I'm just like, reservation police, stop me, I'm gonna die. It's reverse racism at its finest, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Al's right, too.
Wait.
When the bar scenes all became pretentious, I mean, okay, look, I like a good IPA. I like a wide variety of beers. I am very happy that my choices are not Bud Miller or Coors.
There's no such thing as a good IPA. Just saying.
Yes, there is. No, but, okay, here's the thing. This is why we can't have nice things, is that brewers took something that was good and said, okay, how can we fuck this up? And Stone Brewing... Rogue Brewing, not so much, because Rogue, you know, they do fun stuff, like their hazelnut or their Chipotle beers are fantastic. But Stone, it's like, okay, if you like hops in an IPA, why don't you just chew on some weed rather than drinking one of our beers? I mean, their beer literally tastes like you just took a handful of weed and went, that's something different. Nobody goes, when they drink a Stone.
Jeff, before you start screaming, he said Stone, not Stoner.
See, okay, now, but Jeff gets it because I see Jeff, you know, I see the beers that Jeff makes. Those are good beers. You know, those are, there's a reason he makes the beers that he does. There are some breweries who don't really have, okay, here's a good, Sierra Nevada Brewery, before they became widespread everywhere, they had a kick-ass porter. Now their porter tastes like just flat. All their beers, in order to make themselves widespread, to appeal to a broader palate, they have taken away everything that made them good. And so Stone Brewing saw this and said, let's go the opposite way and take the good things of beer and make them fucking ridiculous. It's like New Belgium. It's got to be the malt. New Belgium Brewing, all of their beers taste exactly the same. And it's not that their beer tastes the same. Their beer has a good flavor. It has this aftertaste. Every one of them has the aftertaste. And it is just like you just took this wonderful beer you sipped and then spit it into a sock and drank it again.
Ew. I hate you for
that. That is what all New Belgium beer tastes like to me.
I hate you. Ugh, that's gross.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff, I think you're right. I think it's their yeast, too. But, I mean, I'm a simple man. I like my Busch beer. And Rolling Rock in a can, that's one of my favorite camping beers. But Busch, too, you know. But, Al, you're completely right. Once every place became a microbrewery and stopped being a bar and tried to be a restaurant tasting room, it's a lot like wine in Napa. You know, but it just ruined really good bar scenes. Yeah, Russian River is fantastic. So, actually, if you get the chance, if you like a really good California, if you want a really good California beer, Firestone Walker, their 805 or their Double Barrel are both, and their Union Jack IPA is fantastic too. So. Yeah, Deschutes, they definitely have one of the best ports. Like, chat's talking about beer. So,
So speaking of, during Toxic, I was drinking Apple Pie Moonshine, so I found something else when I found the Apple Pie Moonshine. It's called Dr. McGillicuddy's. I keep wanting to say Extreme Butterscotch, but there's another adjective in there. Basically, it's butterscotch-flavored whiskey, so I'm kind of keeping my theme of dessert in a glass going. It tastes amazing, though. Just saying.
You know, and with that, I actually got us talking right up until before the earthquake. Aggie knows this one, and I know we've talked about it during the holidays. Two things you need to get before you go into the holidays. And this is also good for, like, if you get colds or, you know, it's even better for than the whiskey and honey and tea and all that. Get Trader Vic's Hot Buttered Rum Mix and their Tom and Jerry Mix. And, holy shit. Get those before you get into fall, and you got something special. Another good, again, going back because the beer conversation is still going on in chat, another good California beer out of San Diego is Carl Strauss. He actually used to be the brewer for Pabst, and then he went out and he got some, his kid or grandkid started a brewery in San Diego and took a lot of his grandfather's knowledge and then turned that into better beers. Anyway, moving on. But yes, yum. Tom and Jerry mix and hot buttered rum mix from Trader Vic's.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm actually more of a butter. So the funny thing is, and I was talking about this with a friend of mine, because I had mentioned that I had the butterscotch whiskey, and they were like, I've always been more of a butter rum fan myself. And the funny thing is, when I was a kid, the only thing I knew about was, you know, from, like, Brock's was, like, the butterscotch candy. And then as I got older, I found butter rum, and there is a distinct difference, and butter rum is much, much better. But I haven't, so that's the first time I've heard of any type of a butter rum mix, so I'm definitely going to have to go find that now.
Yeah, it's a hot toddy, hot buttered rum. It's obviously a seasonal hot toddy drink. And like I said, that and the Tom and Jerry, that'll fix you up for sure and get you all warm and toasty too.
So, what else you want to talk about?
We're
already so far in, we might as well just skip the break because we only got like 20 minutes left anyway.
Okay, well then we got to do the part of the show of what are you watching?
Well, I mean, honestly, I found on, I actually been checking out AMC Plus because I had not been keeping up very well with the three-part finale or the three-section finale of The Walking Dead, so I found a way to watch it. And I found another show on there that I'm kind of, that I didn't think I was going to like, and I wound up kind of getting into it. It's based on some books. It's called A Discovery of Witches. It's kind of like a more adult version of The Vampire Diaries. It's kind of interesting. So I've been watching that a little bit.
Wasn't The Vampire Diaries pretty, like, you know, tween to begin with? Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like young adult, but it was more geared towards the tweens.
Yeah, so it was kind of like tweenish, you know, maybe, you know, late high school, early college. But yeah, this one's like more of an adult version. Same general premise, though. I mean, it's got vampires and witches and demons and stuff in it. But it's a completely different take on it, which, I for some reason, I've started getting into that kind of stuff. Been rewatching Voyager a little bit here and there. I've just been kind of picking out the episodes that I like and kind of watching the ones that I thought were good. Tried to start rewatching Enterprise. As much as I like Scott Bakula, I never really could get into Enterprise that well. And I think it was just because so much of what I knew was supposed to be Trek canon didn't fit. Yeah, there were all kinds of things that they weren't supposed to have during the time frames that they're talking about here that they have, and I'm just like, yeah, none of this was supposed to have happened yet. Anyway.
See, another problem I have with Enterprise, and this is, okay, this is where actually my nerd takes over my libido and overrides it and kind of strangles it a little bit, is that, well, Jolene Blaylock was hot as fuck. There was no reason for her to be in the cat suit. That wasn't Vulcan attire. You know, that was them just knocking off Jerry Ryan, Seven of Nine. But Seven of Nine being in the cat suit kind of had a point, but I mean, not really, but still. It may, you know, it's kind of, okay. The Borg were still new. Vulcans were a known quantity. Okay, Vulcans are not really, you know, even though she went out of her way to avoid being over-sexualized. She could not help being over-sexualized, especially every time they had to decontaminate. So it's just kind of like, okay, you know what? This isn't Vulcan. This is annoying. And this isn't Trek. This is annoying. Give me a second. Okay, now it's annoying again. So.
It's just, you know, like so many things, like, you know, because, I mean, one of the very first things from the original episodes was, you know, because remember, it was like 6 or 7 episodes in before they even knew what Romulans looked like, because before the Federation, when Earth first started exploring, which is the time frame that Enterprise is supposed to be in, they didn't have visual communications yet. So all of their communications with Romulans and the original Klingon communications were all done by subspace radio, so they had no idea what these people looked like. Which is why they had no idea up until that particular episode, where, interestingly enough, the guy that also plays Spock's father played a Romulan commander in that episode. And everybody's looking at the Romulan commander and looking at Spock, looking at the Romulan commander looking at Spock, and they're like, well, what the fuck, Spock? And he's like, yeah, it's my cousin. But to me, that was because I wanted to see how they were going to do the show without the technological crutches. I wanted to see, because when this stuff was happening, one of the most advanced ships of the time supposedly was supposed to be the Daedalus class when they were in the middle of the Romulan War and everything else. So we all of a sudden we jump past that to this Warp 5 ship that has, you know, phasers and fledgling transporters and all the and visual communications, and I'm just like, none of this was supposed to be a thing yet. If you're going to do it right. I mean, honestly, even though I'm a huge Scott Bakula fan, they almost lost me from the beginning. I kept watching it just because it was Trek, and, you know, some of my best memories as a kid were growing up watching that, watching the TOS in syndication with my dad, and I wanted to have that with my youngest son, because by the time he was around, there wasn't any Trek left but Enterprise. So we watched it together a lot. But it's just, there were just so many things, and I'm just like, and I kind of went through this with Discovery, and honestly, if Discovery had come first, I probably would have never watched it. But, you know, they already fucked things so badly with Enterprise. I was like, you know what, fuck it, they are pulling a George Lucas, I'm just going to let them run with it.
Yeah, this is offensive, but it's not as offensive as that other thing.
It was just kind of like, you know, the whole thing of, you know, the prequels for Star Wars really, really sucked. And it was because you realized at some point the rumors of George Lucas killing some guy over a script had to be true.
I started that rumor.
Well, you know.
That's Road Beer's postulate number one.
So, you know, I've been rewatching Voyager a little bit, tried to watch a little bit of Enterprise. Honestly, and you know, people are going to make fun of me for this, but I've actually been rewatching some of the original NCIS. I started trying to watch this season of NCIS because the funny thing is, and this has been going on for the last few years, there's like stuff that pops up on Facebook all the time that says the primary reason why Tom Selleck has left Blue Bloods, and then I keep turning it on and Tom Selleck's still there. So I started seeing the same thing about Mark Harmon leaving NCIS about 6 months ago, and of course I'm like, okay, this is the same shit they've been pulling with Tom Selleck for years, and then it turns out I turn it on and there's some other guy playing the new lead agent, and I'm like, okay, so he really did leave. What the hell? But I mean, that whole cast has pretty much been revamped like 14 times over at this point. That show's been going on for longer than I was married. I was married a long time!
See, okay, and it started in like 2003. But I mean, who would make fun of you for watching the show that had Polly Parrott on it? So.
Well, that's true. Dude, she's hot. Same.
So hot.
You know, for being a raging lib.
Goth butt. Goth butts and fishnets.
Just saying. So, well, interesting thing, and honestly, and this is one of the things, because, you know, I did used to watch the show, but I didn't watch it all that often. So there were little nuances that I missed, like before McGee actually became a full-time character on the show, he was actually kind of a recurring role. And at that point, he and Abby were like, fucking. And I'm like, wait a minute. The nerd? Really? I'm like, really? Really?
And there you have it.
But yeah, so, you know, that was one of the things that I missed. But honestly, that show kind of turned me off a little bit, too, and I think that's why I missed some of it, because when they killed off Kate, I was like, I don't know if I want to watch this show anymore. I hate shows that kill off regular characters. It's just annoying.
Yeah, that's when I stopped watching Walking Dead, was when they killed Abraham and Glenn.
Yeah.
I didn't care if they killed Glenn, but killing Abraham? Come on, man.
I don't know. The way they killed Glenn was kind of gruesome, though.
Yeah, that was over. I mean, okay, so in a show that was like, okay, creative zombie death, you know, the zombie kill of the week, that was always fun. But doing that with Glenn, that was like, okay, you know what? Okay, the whole thing, and this is why I stopped watching The Walking Dead. I mean, aside from that, is that, you know, the whole point of The Walking Dead was it was on its face, it was a man against nature movie. I mean, series. Because you could have taken the zombies out of it and made it anything, you know, a global snowstorm, whatever, you know, and it was a, you know, man's need for survival. It was a good survival story. And the zombies were so irrelevant to the plot, really, that you never knew what caused the zombie outbreak in the first place. So, and it was after, 13 seasons of that, where then all of a sudden they had to go, no, we need to do man's inhumanity towards man. Well, you touched on that with the governor. You did that very well. You did that with, God, I'm trying to. What was the group of people that Tasha Yar was in charge of? They were only for like three or four seasons, or three or four episodes.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of them either.
Yeah, at the train yard. So anyway, okay, and there were the cannibals. And so, okay, you did that really well. Then you brought in Negan. Negan was great in comic books, but didn't lend himself well to the screen, even though the actor that played him is fantastic. It just didn't, it wasn't, it was something that was better left to the imagination. You know, like old Universal horror.
Well, I mean, you know, so, well, I don't mean to cut you off, but here's my thing with Negan. It was, and again, keep in mind, I have not read any of the comic books, so I don't have that bias. But for me, Negan wasn't what killed it. It was watching Rick go from being a badass to a basic pussy. I didn't know how to deal with that, because the dude was like kicking ass and taking names, and all of a sudden this guy shows up and he's just like heads down, shoulders slumped, bowing. I'm like, what the fuck?
And you know, GR does have a point. Is that, I mean, it did follow the comics well, but that's what the point I'm making is that in the comics that worked. It should have been. Not an off-screen death so much, but it should have been less drawn out.
Yeah,
and that's kind of thing, and that's where, it, and to your point too, as well, is that, you know, Rick all of a sudden becoming a pussy. I mean, I understand that story arc, but it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't the first time he walked away from the leader, but it was like the first time that it was just surrendering.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, and that's like with me trying to keep up with the most recent season. To me, I just feel like because they're ready to kill it off that they're like trying to do the other 20 years worth of comic books in a season and a half, and it's just not working for me because it's like it's jumping around. There's discontinuity everywhere, and I hate shit like that. And it's not like the show hasn't been common with that before, but at least when it was jumping around, it made sense. I can't even keep up with the shit that's going on. At least I watched the first part of the season all the way through because my youngest son and I used to watch it together until he moved out. But I've tried to keep up with this section of it, and I'm just like, I don't know. There's too many different stories all running at the same time, and I think it's because they've decided they're ending it, which makes no real sense to me because it's not like it's really ending. They're just basically rebranding it and making Norman Reedus' character the main character.
Well, of course they did. Yeah. I mean, he's the dreamboat on the show now. But to that point, Fear the Walking Dead. I liked the first couple seasons for that, but it was after the first couple seasons that I realized Hot Mom is not enough to balance out all this teen angst.
See,
and that's what really drove me off the show. Is like, you know what? I've seen all this is basically a Nirvana album being played out in real time with zombies.
Yeah, I mean, same for me. I really liked Fear the Walking Dead at first because the first couple of seasons, it kind of filled in the stuff that we didn't get to see, you know, because Rick woke up and we were already in the middle of it and we're like, what the hell? So this kind of played out really nicely. But then at some point, when they started crossing each other, I was like, you know, I've kind of seen all this before.
Yeah.
And then they tried to do World Beyond, which was even more teen angst because it was just a bunch of teenagers and it became basically AMC's CW version of The Walking Dead. I was like, yeah, nope, seen this before too. This was done better on Z Nation. Just saying.
Yeah, and that was a tragic loss of Z Nation because Z Nation took the piss out of the whole zombie genre. It made it funny again. It made it Night of the Living or Night of the Comet funny. You know, or was it Night of the Comet? What was the one where they were all in a shopping mall?
Wasn't that Night of the Living Dead?
Well, no, they did that one too, but this was kind of, it was kind of like a zombie. It wasn't like a direct parody of it, but it was kind of like, you know, oh, we're going to steal that too.
Oh, maybe. I haven't seen that one, but anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so, Z Nation was interesting because, you know, it basically took the whole thing and kind of turned it on its head and made it kind of campy again, like the original zombie movies. I know they didn't intend them to be that way back then, but that was basically how they were received. So Z Nation kind of brought all that back, and that one was really fun for me for the first couple of seasons, and eventually I kind of lost interest in that one too.
My two favorite episodes of Z Nation was the giant wheel of cheese in Wisconsin. And the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Both of them just had the comic effect of rolling down and just taking over mass, taking out just whole zombie hordes with rolling things. And especially with the giant wheel of cheese being accidental. That's what made it even funnier with all these zombie bodies sticking out of the... Oh, spoilers, never mind.
So apparently Jeff says you were right. It was Night of the Comet with Catherine Mary Stewart.
Yeah. If you don't remember her from Last Starfighter... Yeah.
I remember. So speaking of which, Ally Sheedy came up during Toxic Masculinity, and I actually did some checking,
yes,
but never got a chance to get back to her. So she actually did have a decent career after the 80s. In the 90s, she spent a lot of time doing off-Broadway work. She also did recurring roles on Kyle XY. She did that bit on Psych. And then kind of just after that did some movies. But yeah, she worked through most of the... she worked all the way through the 90s. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not like she wasn't getting work. It was just like, you know, all those big, you know, Brat Pack, they really didn't do. I mean, the one who was even just a peripheral one you know, we talked about Jennifer Grey a little bit, but there was also Leah Thompson, who wasn't really a member of the Brat Pack, but kind of. She had a more successful career than... I mean, Robert Downey Jr. had to go to rehab, become a libertarian, and then come back to be, you know...
Yeah, I mean, the only other one that actually had some decent TV work was Anthony Michael Hall, which actually Ali Sheedy was in a few episodes of his take on The Dead Zone back on USA back in the day, too. So
he was a great bad on Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
He really was. He was dark. So, I mean, that show was kind of dark to begin with, but as the bad... You know, controlling the dude that would end up being the chief of police from Grimm, and yeah.
But yeah, so the interesting thing about that is, you know, you saw Anthony Michael Hall. Most everybody's experience with him was either, you know, from 16 Candles or, you know, or from The Dead Zone or the other couple projects that he was in, which were, you know, usually, you know, white hat types or, you know, friendly, nerdy types, and then he went from doing that to, oh my god, this guy plays an excellent bad guy, and you're just like, never saw that coming, it's so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you had him in Weird Science, you had him in Breakfast Club too, playing the nerd in both of those, and then, yeah, then he becomes the bad. That's good stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, no, so that was pretty, I actually forgot about him playing the bad guy in Warehouse 13. I might have to go find those episodes again.
That was after... after they introduced the Helena Wells,
the gender swap,
the female, which they did that really well too. Not a lot of things can do gender swap well. Sci-Fi Channel, when they put thought into it, because they did it with the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, and doing that with Warehouse 13 and H.G. Wells, both of those were really well done.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I wasn't, you know, speaking of the reboot of Battlestar, I wasn't exactly sure how it was going to feel about Starbuck being a girl, but, you know, it worked out really nicely, I think.
That one even didn't really bother me that much, because, I mean, Starbuck was just kind of a, you know, whatever. You know, it was Boomer. Having a black man gender swapped and race swapped into Grace Park.
Whatever. You know you were happy about that.
That one. Actually, I wasn't until... I mean, it was kind of like, oh, God, are they going to do all of it? And then she was actually one of the more... Because she was a Cylon, was one of the more compelling characters in it. So.
Yeah.
Rutger Hauer never played a good guy, though. I don't think... I think he only played bad guys. And Rutger Hauer was a fantastic bad guy.
Yeah, Howard was kind of one of those typecast ones. Once he played one bad guy, it was kind of, that was his niche, and that's where they left him.
The Hitcher was one of the darkest movies I've ever seen. With him and C. Thomas Howell and somebody else, I can't remember. When he hooked her up between the trailer and the tractor of the semi.
Yeah.
And with kind of like his dead man switch. So, that's right, Lady Hawk. Okay, he did play the good guy once. So,
yeah, but does it count if it's a movie nobody saw?
Lady Hawk was great.
I'm just teasing.
I know.
I'm just teasing.
Anyway. So, anyway, what I'm watching, I am now into the end of the third season of Babylon 5. I stuck with that. Then I have the fourth season, and then we all know that the fifth season doesn't exist. And I've been watching a little bit of Firefly still off and on, and that show is perfection. I hate to give Joss credit for it, but that show is the perfect sci-fi because it's actually a Western.
Yeah, that's
which true. Is why Westworld is one of the original movie with Yul Brynner. Is one of the most perfect sci-fi movies of that time.
Yeah, I just actually finished rewatching all of Firefly not too long ago, and then had to go dig to find Serenity, because it wasn't anywhere that I could find it, so it took me a minute. which I was upset about because before I had the idea to start rewatching it, it was on Netflix, and then I went to go watch that, and it was gone. It took me forever to find it. I was like, really?
Yeah, I have the complete set on DVD. I just don't have a DVD player anymore.
Nice.
What am I going to do if there? Well, if there's an amp, there won't be electricity. So, but yes, I'm keeping busy during my Twitter suspension. I'm trying to come back, but two things are vexing me with that. One, Verizon buying TracFone, and two, the global chip shortage.
Three, do you really want to start yet another account?
Yeah, you know what, that's actually when it's, I talk about this often, you know, a lot of people get, you know, pretty depressed starting over, and one thing that it's done for me, since this happens so often, is the people who keep following me again and again and again, I have probably some of the most engaged followers of anybody on Twitter, because it's like, I know almost all of them, and they all know, and we interact. There's no, like, you know, peripheral. It's unless they're a new follower who just discovered this Ordy guy. The ones who have been around, you know, either half of Ordy's iterations or even going back to Road Beer, we actually genuinely know each other. You know, we know how, you know, we can converse, and there's no, you know, I like that a lot.
Dang, somebody's, like, being mean in there.
Thanks, one bit. Appreciate you.
Just in case you didn't know, here you go.
This will be my third Ordy Packard, which is actually a pretty good run because I went through about 7 or 8 Road Beers in the same amount of time it's taken me to go through 3.
That's because you're learning, you're maturing.
Well, okay. You know what? So my suspect, I knew it the second I did it, in that if I had said probably, or if I had phrased the deserve to die differently, then, you know, and I wasn't even mad. I was just like, God, I'm so sick of you fucking COVIDiots. I really am. And it was just, yeah. So.
All right,
the thing that pisses me off about it is that it was a fake account with a fake tweet. That's what pissed me off. I fell for it. I fell for the bait.
You got suckered. Speaking of getting suckered, we've reached that point of the night where if we don't get you off the air, you're going to turn into a pumpkin.
I know. One more thing, and I got to give this one to Corduroyalism because he put something together for me that I never put together, no matter how many times I have watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and read the books. The reason Zaphod Beeblebrox had the second head and third arm put on was so he could fully enjoy the triple-breasted whore of Eroticon 6.
Nice. So it's interesting that you brought up Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy because I'd remembered something from my old school coding days and it kind of hit home. And I'm going to ask this in the chat first because you probably already know the answer. Does anybody really know why the computer answered that the answer to all of life's questions was 42? Waiting to see if I'm going to see anybody answer it or not. I'm not sure. But anyway, so short answer is 42 is the number in ASCII code for the asterisk, which is basically shorthand for whatever you want it to be when you're doing programming.
That I did not know. I mean, that goes back to Commodore 64 with the load quote asterisk unquote comedy. But also I've seen it posited that that is Marvin's hat size because he has a brain the size of a planet.
But yeah, no, for, you know, considering the author was a bit of a coder, that was actually something that, yeah, that occurred to me back in the day, because that was when I was still like going through my coding phase, too, and I was like, oh, 42 is the ASCII code for an asterisk, which in programming can be anything you want it to be. Hmm. Might be something to think about there. But anyway, because yeah, ASCII's a wild card in that style of programming. So, or ASCII or Asterisk is a wild card in that style of programming. So, just a side note.
In BASIC,
dude. I still remember the first time I wrote the little simple program on my Commodore 64, where I made my computer ask me what my name is. I typed my name, and it would say hello with my name. I was like, oh my god, that's so cool! I think I was like 10, though, so.
I'm a hacksaws, yeah.
Anyway.
No, that tries, because I was about, I think I was about 12, 11 or 12 when I got fun.
But yeah, no, the funny thing is, like, you know, because once those things kind of became, you know, mainstream, all of a sudden you started seeing them pop up on, like, soap operas. Like, General Hospital had, like, the Amiga 128, because you could tell from, like, the color and the keys that it was not the Commodore 64, but the other one. And they had, right. They had that thing acting like it was a freaking crazy supercomputer. I'm like, yeah, that's the fakest shit ever.
Right.
Anyway, we should probably get out of here, because I don't want you to, like, be late for work and be yelling at me later.
Yeah. Anyway. I've used the VIC-20 at school. I can't do that.
Anyway, we'll see you guys next time. I believe Stacy and I are going to be back tomorrow morning. I'm going to try to finish out the week on the daily dose. My stomach was just not having any of it this morning, but I'm feeling better now, so hopefully I'll feel all right in the morning. And on that note, we're going to get out of here. So have a great night, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Bye.
Hail high.